This sermon, I really don't want to call it a sermon. Let's call it a lesson that I'm going to bring with you tonight. Was asked for me to do this. And I thought on the outset, well, that's pretty good. No problem. And then the more I got into it, and the more I looked into it, the deeper it got. And I'm quite serious when I say this. There's actually about 10 sermons in this lesson, if you separated everything out and did a sermon on each topic. So what I've tried to do is just build a bubble around the subject that I was asked to talk about with verses from the Bible to conclude what the whole subject matter is about. We're going to talk about TV, movies, Las Vegas shows, and anything else that we might be involved with in our lives for entertainment that might not be good. When I looked at this, I started remembering first TV that I was ever around back in the early 50s. We had living on a farm, and we were tickled to death to have a TV. We were even happier when there was just a little bit of an image within all the static that was on the television. When we got a little bit of a look at something, boy, that was just marvelous. We had poor reception. We had one channel. And where we lived, it was 50 miles to one tower, and it was 70 miles to another tower, and it was 160 miles to another tower. So you can imagine the kind of reception we had back in the 50s. We moved into town off the farm in about 1962, if I remember correctly. Dad built a nice home, and of course, had to have television. It was set up down in the basement, away from the family room, because that was going to be where you visited and ate dinner. Well, the reception there wasn't any better than we had on the farm. So he got this 100-foot tower and put it in the back of the house up in the air. And then he had one of these little remote things in by the television that you could turn the antenna so that you could make the picture better. You know, it was like the old rabbit ears. You know, you go up, you turn the rabbit ears, and you're telling your wife or your husband, tell me when it's the best. Well, that's kind of what we had with this remote and this antenna. But it did offer a couple more channels, because now we could, if we had it set just right, we could get stations out of Denver. And now we could graduate from one football game to maybe a couple different football games to watch on Sunday afternoon. Most generally, what we had was Chicago Bears and whoever they were playing. That was the Midwest team, and that's what everybody covered. And that's about all we had. We watched shows back then, like Gunsmoke, Bonanza, Lawrence Welk, Wide World of Sports, the one football game. Good, wholesome television, right? And then along comes a couple that we got really engrossed with as a public. One of them was one of my favorite shows. I watched both of them, MASH. And as I put this lesson together and I started looking at MASH, and that was where we started getting indoctrinated with what's going on today. Because if you take a look back at MASH, it had everything in there just about that we're going to talk about. There was adultery. We thought it was funny. Marjorie Houlihan or whatever her name was, running around capping the nurses and Hawkeye and everybody sleeping with everybody. We thought that was cool. There was cross-dressing. Clingers dressed up in dresses all the time. Greed. We had guys, and they portrayed them on there, that they would sell and trade stuff out from out in the field that they weren't even supposed to be having their hands on. But we all became enamored with that show. And I've watched every rerun. But how bad was it really? According to what we're supposed to look at as Christians. According to, if you look back at the history of television, and you start with these kinds of shows, it's no wonder we've gotten to where we are today. All in the Family was another one. We all like to laugh and joke with Archie. But if you really look at that show, there was a whole bunch of making fun of everybody, from Meathead to everybody else. The prejudice ran deep in that show. The George Jefferson show was the same way. But we all became enamored with these shows, and we liked them. At least I did. I'm using "we" as a not an all-inclusive word, because I'm sure there's some that didn't care for them, but for the most part, everybody liked these shows. Then we graduated into soap operas. Chris is smiling. People became enamored with these things. What was in them? Adultery? Everybody sleeping with everybody, right? And what does adultery lead to a lot of times? Not just single people committing adultery, but married people. It'll lead to divorce. It rips up families. And yet, we watch these things and think it's cute. We had drunkenness on MASH. They had their own still. Doctors getting drunk. And now we have the soap operas. You know, every time they turn around, got to have a drink. We should drink to that. I've had a bad day. I need a couple drinks. That's why we're at where we are today. Greed. There's so much greed in soap operas. I've watched a few of them, so I kind of know what I'm talking about here. I got tied into one, All in the Family, I think it was. The one with the little... forget who the actress was. Yeah, it was All My Children. Anyway, I had a little bit of time off in the afternoons because I'd have sales meetings in the morning, and then we had appointments at night because we were in home salesmen. So we had some afternoons off. I'm telling you, you get hooked on that stuff. And it's not hard to get hooked. But there you got. Now, a lot of the TV programs are just graduated from all this. We had Archie saying the word geez. That's nothing more than a slang word for taking our Lord's name in vain. We got OMG. That's the Lord's name in vain. And now people say it out, it's oh my God, they'll say it right out loud. And we think nothing of it. You see it on Facebook, OMG. Somebody's making an exclamation. And we think nothing about it. We need to be more aware of what's going on around us, I think. And again, I'm preaching at me just as well as at anybody else that's in this. Movies are even worse than television. Oh, wait a minute, maybe they're not. Because I can record movies off of my DirecTV recorder. I don't have movie channels, but once in a while they'll give us HBO and Cinemax and give you a weekend of free, and you can go in there and record everything you want to record. But they're not good, a lot of them. I had one the other night. I was really looking forward to watch it. Had Samuel L. Jackson in it. I love the guy. We opened that thing up, and 5 minutes later we had it deleted. Every other word was a swear word. And not just swear words, the bad ones. So that is infiltrating down into television. And it will continue because there's nothing to stop it except us. We can stop it because we have a choice whether we want to watch that kind of stuff or whether we don't. So in these TV programs, in these movies, I've never been to a Las Vegas show, so I'm inexperienced when I say anything about that. But I got to assume a lot of these things are going on in these shows. I know there's cross-dressing going on. I know there's homosexuality going on because that's advertised. But as far as TV and movies, adultery, drunkenness, homosexuality, bad language, greed, it's all encompassing. Now, when I opened this up, I told you there was 10 sermons in this. You can make a study on every one of these words, let alone one sermon. They, you know, and as we look at TV and as we looked at some of this stuff, they've shown so much of this that it's become second nature to everybody, or most people. We don't think anything about it. My dad used to call it being thick-skinned. It just doesn't bother you anymore. Many have gotten to believe that these things are okay. Why is there so much adultery out in the world today? I don't have an answer for that. But I got to think part of it, they think it's okay. marriages, they get into a marriage, well, if it doesn't work, we can divorce in 2 years or a year, 6 months, it doesn't matter. And it's become ingrained in our society. And as Christians and as a congregation of God's kingdom, we have to be aware of these things. We have to know, what does God have to say about these things? Most of us are aware of that. I'm going to look at one verse on each one of these tonight. I tried to pick a verse that was kind of the top of where you would go with this. So I want to start in Matthew. Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verses 27 and 28. It reads this way. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now stop and think about what's being said here. You don't have to commit the act. If it's in your eyes and you have the thought, you're as guilty as doing it. That's what's being said here. Now when you're watching sexual scenes on TV, if you are, or in the movies, and you're thinking to yourself, well, that's a good-looking woman, and the thought goes in your head, you just won't be there, according to what the Scripture has to say. Adultery is being jammed at us through everything, through television, through movies, and through the shows. And it's become a situation, I believe, that people think it's okay. If I want to go sleep with somebody's wife, that's okay. Or some woman wants to go sleep with somebody's husband, it doesn't matter. Because if it doesn't work out with our marriage, we can divorce anyway. No big deal. Go to Luke. Luke 21. Luke 21, starting in verse 32 through 34. This is what Jesus has to say. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. That's being not prepared because you've got your mind on other things than Christ. Carousing, that means running around with everybody and everything. Drunkenness and cares of life. We get involved with cares of life. And that's okay. But don't get it forefront in your mind to where it replaces your thoughts for God. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Most of us are pretty familiar with this. Bruce and I have used it a lot. Sometimes I think maybe we've worn it out, but it's a good passage. And it's right to the point. And I share it out on Facebook a lot because people need to see it, and they need to read it, and they need to hear it. And that's 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. And this is Paul to the church in Corinth. And if you've read these letters, and I advise you, if you've not read them, just to read the letter clear through. Don't stop and do any studying. Just read it clear through. And you'll see how upset he was with the church in Corinth in this first letter. He was really mad at them. And he tells them in chapter 6, starting in verse 9, and he poses a question to them first. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, that's a pretty good statement. And that's a statement everybody should hear, everybody should pay attention to. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? How stupid are you? Paul's saying to this church. And then he goes on, he says, do not be deceived. What does that mean? Don't let somebody come along and sweet talk you into doing something you know isn't right. Then he goes into what's going on. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortionists. Well, what about all of them? The last part of that verse, he said, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. You will not inherit the kingdom of God if you're practicing these things. Again, with homosexuality, we are bombarded with homosexuality on television. We're bombarded with it in movies. Every show, almost, you've got gay men. I don't want to use the word gay. They're not happy. Homosexual men kissing each other. You got homosexual women making out with each other. Sometimes they'll even show them in bed with each other. You think some of these old Westerns and Dick Van Dyke and these, they couldn't even hardly kiss on television. We watched a movie last night. First time I ever watched a Ronald Reagan movie. It was an old Ronald Reagan Western. Good, wholesome entertainment. They stole a couple kisses somewhere throughout the whole thing. But that was it. Well, that's a far cry from what we have today, isn't it? We have people cross-dressing. We have homosexual acts on television. And you want to get to the itty-gritty, turn on one of these movies that has that going on. You'll see everything. It's alarming as to what's going on. And if you look at what happened in the last 50 years of television, you can only imagine what's going to happen in the next 20 to 30 years. We're going to have on TV what they're showing in the movies. I can't guarantee that, but I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen because you look at the history of it, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And you think all of a sudden, it can't get any worse. Yes, it can. Just watch. So we've talked about adultery in Matthew. We've talked about drunkenness in Luke. We've talked about homosexuality here in 1 Corinthians. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. I only need one verse here. Verse 29. Paul says to the church in Corinth, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. How can we associate our minds with people on television and in the movies that are constantly using swear words? It's hard to do. And we're going to talk about what God has to say, what to do with these things in a minute. But that's pretty plain. It's pretty simple. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Don't say anything unless it's going to impart grace to those that are hearing it. I understand that's hard to do. But we got to work on it. But if we're constantly bombarded with it in things that we're watching and entertainment that we're dealing with, pretty soon in our mind, well, that's okay. You know, this word's okay. And then pretty soon, well, you know, we said this one should be okay. And pretty soon we got a problem. Look where we've gone from Archie Bunker saying geez to where we are today. And Hebrews 13. Verses 5 and 6. The writer says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Greed. Let's be happy with what we have. Let's be thankful that we've got what we've got so we can survive what's going on in the world today. Let's quit complaining about everything. But that comes about from watching the stuff we're watching on television. If you watch the evening news, you're inundated with bad news. From crisis in the classroom to gouging at the pump and all the political stuff that's going on, you put that in your mind, it's going to get in front of God. If you let greed overtake you, then we've got a horrible problem. If you're always wanting what the Joneses have got, and you're stepping over people in your business field or in your whatever your workplace is, you're stepping over people to get above because of greed, now we've got a problem. If you watch these television shows, back to television and movies, they promote greed. It's okay. You'll see people murdering people because of greed. Now, they don't condone that on TV and stuff, but because they'll get thrown in jail for that, but it happens. And pretty soon, it gets in our minds so much that we think maybe it's okay. That's where the problem lies. It's okay to step on people to get where we want to get to. I've seen it happen in the business world I was in. I'm sure most of you have. Okay, so that's what's going on. We've got adultery going on, we've got drunkenness, we've got homosexuality, we've got bad language, we've got greed. Now, there's other stuff going on. I just couldn't list it all out because I'm getting short of time the way it is. So now let's see what God has to say, what to do about all this. What's the instruction to get this out of our lives and not to deal with it? I want to start in Psalms, and then we're going to go to the New Testament. But I really like this verse in Psalm. It's 26, 4, and 5. It reads this way, and it's very definite. Pay attention to the words. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. That's pretty strong instruction as to what we're to do in our lives. Don't associate with evildoers. I'll go back to 1 Corinthians. Paul back again to the church in Corinth. More instruction to this church that he's so upset with. He says, do not, that's a command, do not be deceived. Now that's the second time we've seen that tonight. Evil company corrupts good habits. Constantly sitting in front of the television set or in a movie and watching all the corruption that's going on will corrupt us. It eventually will. There used to be an old saying, I don't know if any of you have heard it, I've used it in a couple sermons. If you go to the barber shop often enough, pretty soon you're going to get a haircut. Stop and think about it. If you keep dealing with this stuff day in and day out and day in and day out, pretty soon it'll grab you. Evil company corrupts good habits. That's a statement from Paul. It's fact. And he says, do not be deceived. That's a command. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Now, I see all these verses, and I'm just using, you know, you can pull verse after verse after verse out of New Testament scripture to back up what we're talking about tonight. But you're seeing verse after verse after verse about corruption and evil. And now in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, he says, do not be equally yoked together with who? Unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness and lawlessness together? How do you put that together? It doesn't mix. How do you mix oil and water? It doesn't mix. How do you mix meat with exercise? Doesn't mix. Doesn't work out. And then he goes on, he says, what communions has light and dark? You just can't have both. You can't be yoked together and be evil on one side and good on the other side. It doesn't work that way. Another verse, and I didn't put it in here, but this is a freebie. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and Satan at the same time. It just doesn't work. Don't be yoked together with evildoers. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 5 through 7. Paul back to the church at Ephesus. For this you know, and he's making an assumption here. He's saying, this you already know, that no fornicator, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. That's just what we've heard before tonight. No fornicator, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance. Don't be partakers with evildoers. Back to Paul's word, don't be deceived into thinking these things are okay. 1 Timothy 5. First and Second Timothy are two of my favorite letters in the Bible. There's so much instruction in there for us, and especially for young people that are young Christians, not maybe not young people, but young Christians. 1 Timothy 5:22. This is instruction to Timothy. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. And then he concludes that verse, keep yourself pure. Well, that sounds simple. My question is, how hard is that to do? How hard is it in a workplace not to deal with people that are evil? I'm using evil as a loose word. Not somebody that's going to be a murderer or anybody, but it's bad language. It's talking homosexuality, all these things that go on. I dealt with it in the workplace. And I mean, you're so inundated with it, it rolls off your skin. You don't think anything of it. And yet you're a partaker of what's going on because you haven't corrected it and you haven't gotten away from it. Don't share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. And then I want to go to 1 Thessalonians. 5, verse 22. Just need one verse here. And this pretty much sums up everything we've talked about tonight. 5:22. Abstain. That means get away from. Do away with. Don't have anything to do with it. Abstain from every form of evil. That's pretty plain. And I think that pretty much sums up what we've talked about. Adultery is sin. Drunkenness is a sin. Homosexuality is sin. Bad language we know is a sin. Greed is a sin. And all the other things that we've talked about in some of these verses, carousing, all the other stuff, that is all sin. 1 Thessalonians says abstain. And it doesn't just say from sin. He's telling them abstain from every form of evil. Now, I'm just going to leave you with this question. What do we do about it? How do we get away from everything? What do we do for entertainment if we can't watch television, go to movies, and enjoy some of the things? A couple ideas what we do. We record everything except sports, unless it's on Sunday night. We got a basketball game right now being recorded so we can watch it when we get home. If we record everything, we can delete something if we don't want to watch it. You don't know how much of local news we fast forward through because it's not worth paying attention to. We end up watching the weather and the sports a lot of times. We get into a bad movie, as I mentioned the other night. We can hit the delete button and get rid of it and watch something else. It's not the first movie we ever deleted, and it won't be the last. We watch a lot of sports. We watch a lot of old movies. A lot of the old Western movies. There isn't any better wholesome entertainment than that. The acting's so bad, sometimes you laugh at things. But it's usually got a pretty good storyline. And it's one we were watching last night. What, you remember the name of it?
Law and Order.
Law and Order, Ronald Reagan show. He was a marshal, and he was set in a town to clean it up. And he did. And then he fell in love with this gal that was dealing at the poker tables in her little saloon, and they decided they'd buy a farm. He bought a farm, and they were going to move out to a farm and get away from being a marshal. Well, he moves to this next town, and all of a sudden they got problems, and he has to take over. They shoot his brother, and he takes over and cleans that town up. And I'm thinking, man, wouldn't that be neat if we had something like that going on today where somebody could come in and clean everything up for us? Doesn't happen. We have to clean our own stuff up. I guess that'd be too easy anyway. We need to clean our own stuff up. So we record everything. We watch a lot of sports. We watch a lot of older movies. One thing we don't watch is sitcoms. We just have gotten away from them. They're so full of everything we've talked about tonight. Not all of them, but a majority of them are so full of everything we've talked about. And if you don't believe me, click on one and watch it for a half an hour. They're horrible. Those are things that we do. I don't know how, about the only thing we can't get rid of is the occasional sex scene that you might see. We can fast forward through homosexual scenes, which we do. And you can't get rid of the occasional swear word. Is that okay? I don't know. According to God's word, it's not. We're supposed to abstain from all evil. Short of unplugging the TV, I don't know what to do. We've done as much as we think we can. I'll leave the sermon with you tonight, the lesson. It's a touchy subject. It's a tough subject. The majority of people, including Christians, are involved with what's going on. And we let ourselves get more involved because we get thick-skinned and we think, it's okay. God says, don't do it. I'm going to say, be real careful what's going on. Before I turn this over to Kurt, I want to, those of you that weren't here this morning, I will be sending Valon's money Friday. It's a couple weeks earlier than normal. Peggy and I are going to leave a week from Tuesday. We're going to Nebraska for a week. So I want to get his money sent to him before we go. So if you weren't here this morning, you'd like to help with that effort financially, see me when services are over. The invitation is always open. Bruce says it's 24/7. You want to be baptized at 2 in the morning, call him. Don't call me. No, you can call me anytime. If you need prayers of this congregation, if you need help, maybe you're mired into all this stuff and you need help to figure out a way out of it, we'll pray for you or come talk to somebody about it. We're here for you. I'll leave that with you. Kurt, let's sing the invitation song.